The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 21, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 13th, 2008, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 21.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yan nam vipadma bhavanadahamasamirya. Lokatrayapakarano yadanugrahena. Tasmai namasta udarasta bhavaya yoga. Nidram vasanna visalanna kalikshanaya. Vasanna vikashanna lidikshanaya.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. O object of my worship, I am born from the house of your lotus navel for the purpose of creating the universe by your mercy. All these planets of the universe were stationed within your transcendental abdomen while you were enjoying sleep. Now your sleep having ended, your eyes are open like the blossoming lotuses in the morning. Purport. Brahma is teaching us the beginning of Archana regulations from morning, 4 o'clock, to night, 10 o'clock. Early in the morning, the devotee has to rise from his bed and pray to the Lord. And there are other regulative principles for offering Mangal Arti early in the morning. Foolish non-devotees, not understanding the importance of Archana, criticize the regulative principles. But they have no eyes to see that the Lord also sleeps by His own will. The impersonal conception of the Supreme is so detrimental to the path of devotional service that it is very difficult to associate with the stubborn non-devotees who always think in terms of material conceptions. Impersonalists always think backwards. They think that because there is form in matter, spirit should be formless. Because in matter there is sleep, in spirit there cannot be sleep. And because the sleeping of the deity is accepted in Archana worship, the Archana is Maya. All these thoughts are basically material. To think either positively or negatively is still thinking materially. Knowledge accepted from the superior source of the Vedas is standard. Here in these verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that Archana is recommended. Before Brahma took up the task of creation, he found the Lord sleeping on the serpent bed in the waves of the water of devastation. Therefore, sleeping exists in the internal potency of the Lord, and this is not denied by pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and his disciplic succession. Of course, this doesn't mean we should sleep in the class. It's not encouraging us to sleep in the class. Just because sleeping is there in the Lord doesn't mean, well, Krishna does it, so I can do it also in the Bhagavatam. No, no. Sleeping is not allowed in the club. You can sleep outside of the club, but not in the club. It is clearly said here that the Lord slept very happily within the violent waves of the water, manifesting thereby that he is able to do anything and everything by his transcendental will and not be hampered by any circumstances. The Mayavadi cannot think beyond this material experience, and thus he denies the Lord's ability to sleep within the water. His mistake is that he compares the Lord to himself, and that comparison is also a material thought. The whole philosophy of the Mayavadi school is based on not this, not that, neti, neti. It's basically material. Such thought cannot give one the chance to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhambitamscha.
So there are two points being made by Prabhupada. The first point is, get up by 4 o'clock in the morning and observe Mangalarti. Does Prabhupada say this is only meant for people living in the temple? No, I didn't see that in the purport. This is just for the temple residents to rise by 4 and observe Mangalarti. He said, the devotee has to rise. He didn't say the temple resident has to rise. So if I'm a devotee, then I have to understand this is the actual standard. I have to rise by 4 o'clock and observe Mangalarti. Of course, when we're training someone in Krishna consciousness, we give them some time to adjust. But this is the actual standard. Then I should rise by 4 a.m. I should have the Mangalarti. If I can't come to the temple, then I can ring the bell and offer the arti at home. A nice little altar, some photographs. The non-devotees find fault with this. They criticize the regulator principles. So anyway, Prabhupada makes that point at the beginning, and then he gives a whole attack on Mayavadi philosophy. He shifts it into an attack on Mayavadi philosophy. The Mayavadis deny that God can do anything. They say God has no form, he has no name, he has no qualities, he has no activities. He certainly can't sleep, he can't do anything. He's completely devoid of any potency to do anything. You see. So Prabhupada is making a very, very strong attack against this Mayavadi philosophy. Why does Prabhupada do this so strongly again and again and again? Why does he attack Mayavadism? Actually, in the beginning, the 22nd Avenue, the devotees were thinking, why does Swamiji always attack these people called the Mayavadis? And then he realized that actually I'm a Mayavadi, and Prabhupada is correcting me. And this Mayavad tendency has polluted everyone. You see. Especially in Hinduism, it's the predominant philosophy. Somebody just sent me an email the other day defining what is a Hindu. And their definition was to accept this idea of impersonal Brahman as the highest truth. That was their definition of Hinduism. So, this idea that God is actually formless and that all of these things like sleeping and waking and glancing and talking and eating are just an imagination. See, what they say is this. Because we are caught up in the world of form and name and qualities, therefore, we imagine a deity that has a name, a form, and qualities to help fix our mind as a stepping stone then to go into impersonal Brahman. It's like you take a ladder and you go up the ladder to the branch of the tree, then once you're up there, you kick away the ladder. You see. That's their idea. Actually, there are Mayavadis who worship Radha and Krishna. They do it for the purpose of merging into Brahman. So Prabhupada is attacking their whole philosophical basis. They say whatever quality is there in matter, it must be the opposite in spirit. Why? Why does it have to be like that? It doesn't have to be that way. They assume that, you see. If matter has form, then spirit must be formless. You see. Why? Where is the proof for such a concept? It's a concocted idea. This material world is a manifestation of the spiritual reality. That is the reality. Just because it's the energy doesn't mean it's lacking the qualities of its source. So it's very important to understand that this material nature, although inferior, gives us some idea about the spiritual nature. It's a manifestation of the spiritual nature. It has a connection with the spiritual nature. So even by studying this material nature, you can understand something of the material nature. We should not allow ourselves to be carried away by this false propaganda of the Mayavad school. It's a very attractive philosophy because in this philosophy, I'm God, you're God, we're all God, you see. In America, many people were atheists, but then they heard about Mayavadi philosophy. They said, well, this is even better. I was saying that God is dead, but now I get to say that I'm God. Hey, I can accept that, you see. Hey, I'm God. I've had many people tell me directly, I am God. They told me directly to my face, I am God. So I asked this incarnation, I said, when was I born? He couldn't say. If you're actually God, that means you know everything. So how do you claim to be God if you don't know everything? It's a false claim. M- My godbrother Amarendra Prabhu, he went to Chicago and he had a talk with Prabhupada about this, these Mayavadis. He said, Srila Prabhupada, this is what they will argue. They will argue, yes, I am God. You see, we say that if you're God, then how did you get in this material nature? If you're the Supreme, then why are you caught in the chains of birth and death? You see, if you're God, then you would not have to be subjected to this material nature. So one argument the Mayavadis use, and he told this to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, they will say that I am God, that I am right now in the material nature is a fact, but that's simply my lila. This is my pastime to be in the cycle of birth and death. Suffering, you know, having to go to work every Monday morning, you know, having a toothache and go to the dentist. This is my lila. But actually, I am God. This is simply lila. You have to understand, this is my lila. You see? So Prabhupada, Prabhupada is always very, very sharp. Immediately he gave a brilliant reply. He said, you tell them this, that you are God, I accept. But I am also God, and my pastime is to kick you in the face. I am the kicking God, and you are the kick God. Prabhupada was Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There is no great warrior like Prabhupada to defeat these Mayavadis. He is the greatest defeater of Mayavadi philosophy. We've never seen a Vaishnava Acharya so powerful as Srila Prabhupada. You see. Look in the history of the world. Just study all the Acharyas. You see, even the great Acharyas. They preach within India only. Where do we see any Acharya like Srila Prabhupada who can spread Krishna Bhakti to every corner of the world? Now others are coming along and in the wake of Prabhupada, and they are doing a little something. But Prabhupada is the pioneer. No one else had the potency to do this. You see. No other guru had the potency to do this. Prabhupada is not an ordinary spiritual master. He is Shaktivesh Avatar. He was directly sent by Krishna from the spiritual world to the material world to write the books. Actually, Prabhupada was predicted in the Chaitanya Mangal. You know that? By Lochan Das Thakur. He predicted there would be a Senapati, a great commander-in-chief, Vaishnava, who would appear. And he would inaugurate the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, and his instructions would be followed for 10,000 years of the golden era. It's predicted in the Chaitanya Mangal. So what are those instructions that will illuminate the world for 10,000 years and bring in a golden era? Prabhupada's books. See? Prabhupada's books. Therefore, Prabhupada said, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Because the more these books are distributed, the more people can read these books, the more the world will become transformed. So what greater opportunity is there in the history of the world than to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission of inundating this planet with Krishna consciousness? What more opportune moment in history is there than what we have right here, right now, today here in Suva, Fiji? We have the greatest opportunity, you see. We've been blessed with the most exciting, adventurous existence to assist Srila Prabhupada and the servants of Srila Prabhupada in making this prediction. Actually, it was Lord Nityananda speaking to Lord Chaitanya. That's the actual quote. Lord Nityananda was telling Lord Chaitanya about this great Senapati. So to actually be a member of his army, of that great Senapati, that great Vaishnava, commander-in-chief, to be a member of his army is the greatest opportunity. So, if we can take full advantage of this, our lives will be filled up with happiness. There is no greater adventure, there is no sweeter taste than to be dedicating one's life to spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, they are dying. He said it with such compassion in his voice, talking about the people on this planet. They are dying without Krishna consciousness, you see. We have to learn how to feel compassion for these people and dedicate our life for giving them Krishna consciousness. If we do that, our perfection is guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. There is no one more dear to Krishna than one who dedicates his life for pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. So if we want to become dear to Krishna, then we should always be thinking, speaking and acting in such a way that we can assist the great Vaishnavas in inundating this planet in the tidal wave of Krishna Bhakti. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Hare Krishna. Says that Krishna sleeps. Krishna is sleeping.
Yes, yes. Krishna sleeps, yes. And he wakes up also, yes.
Does Krishna really sleep or just, you know?
No, he doesn't make a show. He really sleeps. You enjoy sleeping, don't you? Where does that sleeping propensity is originally there in God. So sleeping is real in Krishna also. Of course, his dream, the dreams that he has and the dreams that we have, they're quite different.
I just like to make clear here. It says yoga nidra. What is that?
Yoga nidra, that's the sleep of Mahavishnu. His sleep is called yoga nidra. You see, when you sleep, you can't do anything. But when God sleeps, He can manifest all the universes. So we cannot imitate the sleeping of God, you see. If any one of you here can manifest all the universes when you're sleeping, then it's okay to sleep in Bhagavatam Club. I authorize you to take a nap in Bhagavatam. You can lay down on the floor. If you can manifest and have a nap right here in Bhagavatam class, in front of the deities even. If you can manifest all the universes with your exhalation, all the universes come out, and with your inhalation, all the universes are destroyed. If any of you can do that, I authorize you to sleep here in Bhagavatam class. You can lay down, we'll give you a pillow, we'll give you a nice mattress, and you can sleep in Bhagavatam class. But if you can't do that, then you should wake up in Bhagavatam class. Any other questions? Yes.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything is working under my direction. So when he sleeps, then who looks after us?
Actually, Krishna has multi-incarnations. And he's so expert that even in his sleeping, everything can go on. You see. That's a fact. In terms of management, in his original form, even if he's awake, he's not dealing with the management. Just like some wealthy man, you see, big, big, rich man. Does he personally manage the factory day in and day out? No way. He has his assistants do that work, you see. So he can go, on a vacation. If he's a devotee, he'll go out traveling and preaching, you see. Traveling and preaching all over the world, and let his managers run the business, you see. So even if an ordinary man can empower people to do things on his behalf, how much God can empower people to do everything. Whether he's sleeping or playing the flute, you see. Krishna in his original form, he doesn't, Shamsundar, he doesn't bother with the universal management. He's simply wanting to find that the sweetest note on the flute to attract Radharani even more, you see. So Krishna is so expert that he has his Vishnu expansions, you see. He has, how many Vishnu expansions does he have? Do you know the number? That's right. He has an infinite number of Vishnu expansions to perform an infinite number of managerial duties, you see. What boss has that many employees here in this world, you see? He has an infinite number of expansions who are as good as himself with all the shakti and the power to manage everything. So he can take a nap, no problem. Questions? What's he saying?
In the second canto.
What's he saying?
In the second canto.
Come here and tell me in my ear. I'm really deaf.
The two versions of creation in mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Second canto, Vishnu appears in 400 form and he shakes hands with Brahma and gives him blessing, and the four slokas are given to Brahma. The second canto, Sukadev Goswami is speaking to Chandrakumara. Right?
He appears as Vishnu to Brahma?
Yeah, and then he shakes hands with him and then blesses him with the four slokas.
Yeah, the Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam.
Right.
And that's Vishnu, four on Vishnu. He does that.
In this form, he appears in the meditation. He is not appear personally in front of him.
And in this form, what?
In this version, he appears in his form as a meditation. You know? He doesn't appear personally to Brahma.
Oh, he's only appearing in a meditational form?
Yes. And there's no exchange of, there's no shaking of hands. And why is it a different version in the second canto?
So why are there different versions in different parts of the Bhagavatam? Why in one place he's actually physically, visibly manifest. In another case, he's just in meditation. It could be describing, it's likely describing different pastimes. Or different pastimes. If there's two different things in two different places, that means both things happen. When things appear to be contradictory in the Bhagavatam, the easiest way to resolve it is to say, okay, they're both true. I don't understand how they can both be true, but I accept that they're both true. And with that faith, what does the Shvetashvatara Upanishad say? Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite katidahyavya prakashante mahatmana. Only unto that person who has unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So the way to get through this confusion is to have very strong faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, unflinching faith. And then Krishna will bless you with the intelligence to understand. You have to be in a humble mood, and then Krishna will give you the intelligence. You see, to have that faith in the instructions of the spiritual master is very important. You know the story of the illiterate Brahmin? You know that story? The illiterate Brahmin in South India? You know that, yeah. Everybody knows that story? The illiterate, no? Okay. This is an example of having faith in the words of the spiritual master. His spiritual master ordered him that every day you must read Bhagavad Gita. Now this Brahmin, he was illiterate. He couldn't read. But he thought, Guru Maharaj has ordered me, so every day he would sit in Ranganath temple. He would sit there with the Bhagavad Gita, looking at the pages, you see, turning the pages. So everybody was laughing. Oh, just see. Just see this Brahman, he thinks he can read. He's so foolish. They were making joke all the time, talking. The Kanishta Adhikari devotees, you see, they always find fault with devotees. This is called Kanishta Adhikari. So the Kanishtas, they were cutting jokes to criticize him. This is not a proper Vaishnava, you see, Kanishta, one who criticizes Vaishnavas. He's not really a devotee in the real sense of the term, the one who just criticizes. So all the Kanishtas, you know, they were criticizing. Yeah, he's stupid, he doesn't know anything. He's so puffed up, he's making a show of reading. And this way they were criticizing like anything. So Lord Chaitanya, he was traveling and, you know, he was wandering in South India. So he came there to that temple. He heard this buzz going on about the illiterate Brahman. So he thought, let me check this out. Let me see what is going on with this Brahman. So Lord Chaitanya, you know, he's just an ocean of mercy, Patita Pavana. He has pure love for everyone. So he approached that Brahman. And the Brahman could understand just by seeing Lord Chaitanya, this person has not come here to criticize me. Just by seeing Lord Chaitanya, he could understand. So Lord Chaitanya, in a very sweet voice, he said, Brahman, you're reading Bhagavad Gita. I hear you're illiterate. But you're reading Bhagavad Gita? How is that, Brahman? He said, yes, what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me every day I must read 18 chapters. So I'm simply sitting here turning the pages of this Bhagavad Gita. You see? But then Lord Chaitanya, he was very observant. You see? He said, but Brahman, I see you are not only reading, I see you are crying also, Brahmana. How is that you are crying? He said, when I hold this Bhagavad Gita in my hand, in my mind I'm visualizing how Krishna is so kind to act as the chariot driver for his devotee Arjuna. And when I think about Krishna's kindness upon his devotee, I cry. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, Brahman, you are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So if we take this mood of the illiterate Brahman, you see, whatever order my Guru Maharaj has given, I accept that order as my life and soul. Whether I'm competent, whether I'm incompetent, whether I am qualified, whether I am disqualified, whatever it may be, I take the order of my spiritual master as my life and soul. You see. Then Lord Chaitanya will bless you. See, with transcendental understanding, you will understand the secrets of this Vedic wisdom. So when those contradictions come, it appears to be contradictory, we shouldn't think, oh, Vyasadeva made a mistake. Or Prabhupada made a mistake. He didn't translate it right. And we shouldn't think like that. We should think, let me have complete faith in the words of Krishna, in the words of Srila Prabhupada. And in that mood, you will be blessed with transcendental understanding. You know what Prabhupada told me? Because when I was a young devotee, I used to write him so many letters. I'd ask questions about this and that and this and that. So many letters I would write Prabhupada. Because I wanted to hear it straight from the founder of Charya, not somebody else, you know, who'd just been in the movement for 1 year. I wanted to hear it from Prabhupada. What is Prabhupada's answer? So Prabhupada is very merciful. He answered letter after letter, he answered my questions. And in one letter he wrote me this. He said, if you will simply engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day with full sincerity of attitude, Krishna will personally come and answer every one of your questions. So know it for certain. These questions you have are wonderful. They're wonderful. And the way to get the answers to every single question is you be completely sincere about being totally surrendered to Krishna in all times, all places, and all circumstances. And then Krishna will personally come and he will answer every single one of your questions to your complete, total satisfaction. Even though I can't do it, Krishna can. Questions more? Yeah. Of course, I can answer some of your questions. keep trying.
Gurudev, if somebody who is not a devotee tries to challenge me about these contradictions, I accept but can't explain. How should I behave?
He challenged you about the conditions?
About contradictions.
Of the contradictions.
I accept but can't explain. How should I behave?
Actually, you know what? My experience is this. When you put yourself out on a limb to represent Krishna consciousness to the non-devotees, Krishna will always give you the answer. You don't have to say, I don't know. You'll be amazed. If you carefully study these books, chant good rounds, I've seen it again and again and again. Krishna has never let me down. Whenever an atheist challenges, an agnostic or a skeptic or a Mayavadi, Krishna has never let me down. Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. And any devotee who becomes is very sincere to chant and surrender to Krishna and read and understand and properly represent Srila Prabhupada's books can act like a king in philosophical debate because nobody can touch him. That's a thing. Prabhupada called this Digvijay Pandit. You know that term, Digvijay Pandit? And you all know that term, Digvijay. Digvijay means one who can conquer in all directions. Just like a Maharati. It doesn't matter what angle you attack him. You can get attacked from this side. You can attack from this side. You can attack from here. Any direction you attack a Maharati, he'll defeat you, you see. So a philosophical Maharati, he is called Digvijay Pandit. He can defeat all opposing arguments of all varieties of the scriptures. So Prabhupada told us that you should go from village to village, city to city, town to town, and make Digvijay. That there is God, I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! That is Digvijay. Prabhupada said like that. So, if you put yourself on a limb for Lord Chaitanya, you'll be surprised how the super soul will come through every time and give you just the perfect thing to say to make that person go, wow. This is incredible. I never heard any philosophy like this. So I would say be bold and depend on Krishna. Be well read in the philosophy and study. I remember when I was first engaged intensely in philosophical debate. I started up the most successful Food for Life program in ISKCON history. It's still going on. I started it. And I started going out to the University of Florida campus in 1973. And the program is distributing prasadam. That program has been going on nonstop 35 years. I went out one day and started distributing prasadam on the campus, and it's never stopped ever since I started going out. So anyway, on that campus, especially in the 70s, that was the era of Mayavadis, when everybody was into Mayavadi philosophy on the college campuses. The hippies and the countercultural people were all embracing Mayavadi philosophy, and they were hanging out on the campuses and debating. That was the thing in the 70s in the U.S., so I met one argument after another argument after another argument after another argument. But I had very good help. Because just at that time, probably the Bhaktivedanta Tate Ministry first started. In the beginning, we didn't have any recordings of Prabhupada. There was only a few books. We only had the first canto of the Bhagavatam, and that was it. We didn't even have the full Bhagavad Gita. There was no tapes available. All these things came later. But anyway, the tapes started coming. They started the tape ministry in L.A., and we started getting these tapes. So, we're very busy, you know. Brahmachari in the temple, you're going here, going there, your daily schedule. Where's the time to sit down and study these tapes and take notes? That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to take notes. So I could become very expert. I could develop a very sharp philosophical cutting edge to defeat these atheists and scientists and Mayavadis. So Prabhupada was doing Magda Bhais with Swarup Damodar Prabhu at the time on Venice Beach, and these were all being recorded. They were incredible philosophical arguments Prabhupada was giving, one after another. So where's the time to sit down and take notes and minutely study all these arguments? There was no time. So I had a good idea. When all the devotees took lunch, I skipped lunch every day. I just took a big breakfast, you know, a little bit larger breakfast, and I skipped lunch. And everybody was in the prasadam room. I was in the brahmacharya ashram with my cassette player and my cassettes and my notebook. I still have those notes, even all these years. I have all those notes I took. So I was studying carefully, minutely, writing down argument after argument after argument given by Srila Prabhupada, you see. Because I wanted to be able to defeat anyone and everyone, no matter what they would give. I wanted to be able to defeat them all and establish Prabhupada's Siddhanta, you see. So, and then I would, my service in the, after lunch was to go to the campus. And I would spend hours every day trying out all these arguments I just gotten from Prabhupada. Just like one argument they said was, everything's an illusion. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is also an illusion. Krishna is an illusion. It's all an illusion. So I was thinking, well, even accepting that argument that it's all an illusion, this is the best illusion I've ever found. But there's another way of defeating it. If it's all an illusion, if you say that everything's an illusion, that means your statement is an illusion because it's part of everything, isn't it? So your statement is also an illusion. So anyway... The more, if you study these books, you study this material of Prabhupada with a sincere desire to establish the Vedic Siddhanta very solidly on this planet, in every sphere of this planet, Krishna will help you like anything, I guarantee you. I've learned so much of this philosophy just by putting myself on a limb to preach. Just by facing opposing arguments, and the Super Soul came through once again and said, here's the answer. And I went, wow, that's incredible. So, it's not very good if you have to say, I don't know the answer. That means you need to become more knowledgeable in this philosophy. You should never have to say, well, I don't know the answer. That's not very good. You should be strong. That is, preacher. You can defeat them all. No matter how they may attack, from this side, from that side, you're going to defeat every single argument, establish the Siddhanta of Srila Prabhupada as the leading, cutting-edge science for this universe. Any other question? Yes. Yeah.
We can see now that the people who are compromising this Prabhupada's teaching. So how will it affect this going in the future?
You mentioned that Krishna consciousness will go for golden age for what, 10,000 years.
Yes.
But he feels that some devotees are compromising some of the standards. So how could I do now?
Yes, those who compromise, they will not be part of the golden era. What do they say on a ship? Man overboard. You see, those who compromise, the ship, the ISKCON ship is crossing over the ocean of birth and death. Those who compromise, man overboard. What is the sound that someone makes when they hit the waves, when you fall into the water from the boat? Bloop. That's why we say bloop. That's the sound of a hitting when someone falls off the boat into the ocean. They hit the water, bloop. So those who compromise, they will miss out. They'll have to take birth again. Even if there's a small core of very, very dedicated people, Prabhupada said, ekas chandra, even if there's just a small core of devotees who don't compromise, those devotees can lead the whole world. Even if it's just a small group of devotees who don't compromise, they can lead the whole world out of chaos. This is confirmed by Prabhupada. He said, even if one devotee can purely chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without any offense, by his influence, the entire universe can take up Krishna consciousness. So even if only one devotee does not compromise, remain strict and staunch to every single instruction of Srila Prabhupada, that one devotee can become, Prabhupada said, will become Jagat Guru, and under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So, my question is this. Do you want to taste the nectar? Or do you want to taste the poison? Those who compromise, to the extent that you compromise the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you will taste poison. How many of you would like to drink poison this morning? It's your breakfast. Therefore, do not compromise. To the extent that you are pure and dedicated to following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, to that extent you will be tasting the sweetest, most sublime, inconceivably nectarian rasa. There's always happens. When Prabhupada was here also, there were so many people who compromised it and they left. Let me see. Prabhupada even sometimes was so disgusted. Prabhupada's an ocean of mercy, but one boy, he was compromising so much and not wanting to follow. You know what Prabhupada told him? I knew this devotee personally. He was the first devotee that I ever heard of that ever criticized the GBC. Nowadays, everybody criticizes the GBC. In those days, nobody criticized the GBC, except for this one boy. He had a darshan with Prabhupada. You know what Prabhupada told him? His instruction to him was this: just earn money and enjoy. That was the order he got from Srila Prabhupada. In other words, get out. So sometimes it happens. People don't want to follow. They will fall by the wayside. They will stay in the cycle of birth and death. But those who stick with this process and do not compromise, they will be recognized and blessed by Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas. And they will go down in history for being those devotees who revolutionized this planet. Revolutionize your heart and revolutionize the world. That is our motto. Questions more? Well, our time just ran out. I'll squeeze one last question in.
Okay. I have another question in relation to my previous question.
Okay.
Because I don't understand, I just want to make it clear. Now, in this material world, say you have dualities.
Dualities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we also have a spiritual world?
There is variety in the spiritual world. Variety exists in the spiritual world. But you don't have the dualities of material existence. You're not being tossed on the waves of the dualities in the spiritual world. There you have unlimited, ever-increasing happiness. But there are so many varieties of emotions there. Just like look in Krishna book, a forest fire came in. The Brijabasis were going to be devoured by the forest fire. They were completely in anxiety, calling out, "Krishna, Krishna," and Krishna saved them. So, but that is all ecstasy of intensity, becoming more and more intensely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It may appear that they are dualities, happiness and distress, that they were in great distress when the forest fire came, you see. But actually, that is simply rasa. They're becoming ever increasingly absorbed in taking shelter of Krishna, more and more and more and more at every minute. So actually, it is, even though it may appear to be dualities, actually it is non-dual existence. Pure, unadulterated bliss at every minute. All right? We'll stop on that point. And our next lecture is at what time? From 1 until 2. Everyone come, bring your friends, bring your neighbors, bring your family members, bring your prime minister, bring everyone here. Let's make a revolution in Fiji. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.